We get together this morning, turn to Hebrews 11. We won't be staying there long, but we'll start there at least. And then we'll end up in Genesis today. But as we come together this morning, I'm kind of reminded of the story, and many of you may know it. You may have heard about the little boy you know how kids get curious. Start asking a lot of questions at certain points in life. And this little boy was trying to take church in for the first time, really understand it. And some of you may have even heard this one before, but started asking his dad during the service what things meant. I said, you know, Dad, what's it mean when he says everybody stand? Well, son, we're going to worship God. We're going to stand up and sing. I said, well, what's it mean when they do communion? He's like, well, it's a sacrifice that we give. We remember what Christ did for us. And then the preacher at one point reached and took his watch off and set it on the pulpit. And the little boy said, well, Dad, what's that mean? He said, absolutely nothing, son, absolutely nothing. So just so you're aware of how the service is going to go today, that clock on the wall back there, that means absolutely nothing to me right now. But all kidding aside, truly blessed to be able to be here again this morning. And I think about it, if you had asked me 6 months ago where I would be today, this is not where I would have told you. I didn't think that I would be in Newland Christian Church as a pastor. I didn't think that I would have been here for, 3 months now almost, if you count July. And to be honest, feel more blessed each and every day to be able to be a part of this congregation and a part of what God is doing here. So I'm glad that you guys are joining me. And one of these days, we're going to get you to move up a few rows so it doesn't feel like everybody's so far away. But I'll just talk loud and we'll have fun. Tammy says no. I'll move down. Well, we can work on that possibly too, but I want you to be able to hear me. So I got to stay near the microphone. So maybe we can talk about an option there. How's that? We'll figure that one out. As we start today, as we get things going, I want to truly understand what we were talking about last week with faith. And, you know, faith, the first part of Hebrews, we really just kind of wanted to balance it all out and talk about what faith means. And so, you know, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things we do not see, things not seen. And we talked about, and I explained that through the three things of hearing, speaking, and doing, and living out our faith when it comes to what we do. And as we continue on at this point, we're going to go through the book of Hebrews chapter 11, and it's going to be an in-depth study. This is not something where we're just going to jump and skip all over the scripture. We will today, but it has a point. And what I grew up in youth group hearing was that Hebrews 11 was kind of like the hall of fame for faith. It's got like those that were enshrined by the early church listed and talks about the faith that they had and how they got to where they were. And so that's what we're going to talk about today, and we're going to continue in Hebrews 11, Hebrews 11:4 is actually where we're going to start today. And it says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead yet speaketh. Let me read that one more time. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Let's pray. Lord God, I pray you just take this service. I pray that it would be yours. Lord, I pray that my words would be your words today and that you would speak through me. And Lord, I just pray that today you would move in a mighty way here in this church, Lord, that we would see you move and that we would give you the glory. And we pray this now in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, as we come together this morning and we talk about this, what I want us to see and what I want to do is talk about this giving faith that Abel had. And what I mean by giving faith is not necessarily what you would think. You know, for us to explain this story a little better, I think maybe we need to just get the background in it. So if you will, turn to Genesis chapter 4. That's where we're going to spend most of the day. Genesis chapter 4, starting in verse 1, we're going to look over this story of Cain and Abel. We're going to see this story unfold before our eyes, and then we're going to take some lessons out of it. And for us to understand faith, I think we need to understand sin. We need to understand some of the things that have come around here. Genesis chapter 3 shows us the root of sin. It shows us where sin came from. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, Genesis chapter 3 deals with the fall of man. It deals with Adam and Eve partaking of the fruit. It deals with the serpent. And it deals with this story that we don't understand of how it came about, but yet it tells us where sin came from. Genesis 4 begins to show us and shed light on what that sin leads to. It begins to shed light on what happens when sin comes into your life. And it begins to tell us a little bit more about what happens when someone is rooted in that sin, the way that the world was at that time. You know, so basically the root of sin was disbelief and disobedience. In Genesis 3, we see that Eve and the serpent have a lot to do with that. And then we see its effects on the home in Genesis chapter 4. You know, you've got your two characters. You've got Cain and Abel. Abel raised in a righteous way. He was always focused on the things of God. He was focused on what was happening that God was doing. Cain, on the other hand, likely was a little bit jaded. He was the firstborn. He was probably the mother's pride and joy, so to speak. But what I think we also see here is that, you know, maybe Cain took a little bit out of Eve's book as life goes on. But we'll get into that as we go through this morning. But as I start, I want to look at Genesis 3:15. So if you will, just go back just a bit. And it says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." And that's talking to the serpent, God laying out his curse on the serpent. And then he continues and throws Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden. You know, maybe Eve felt that Cain was promised by God. Maybe she spoiled him and shared with him that feeling. You know, but we can't determine how God will carry out his plan and his blessings. He doesn't need our help. I mean, you know, we will talk about Abraham a couple of times during this series. But if you look at the story of Abraham, God made a promise to Abraham and Sarah. God promised Abraham and Sarah a son. Abraham and Sarah took it into their own hands to provide that son for God with the birth of Ishmael through Sarah's handmaid, in which God then said, "No, I told you I would provide you and Sarah a son." And so if we look at that story, we see that God does not need our help. I mean, he promises something, he's going to deliver on it in his time and in his way. We don't need to aid the process along. We don't need to think we know better. But what we see here in Genesis is that the fruit of sin is falling away from God. Cain shows this in the way that he worshiped. And we're going to look at that in detail today. We're going to look at Cain and Abel's worship, and we're going to look at what it leads to. He didn't bring his best before God, and there are a number of us today in church who typically don't. We typically have this mentality of Cain. Now, don't get mad at me. Let me explain that here in just a few minutes. Over the next few minutes, I hope to explain that in a way that you will understand. But turn with me to Genesis chapter 4, starting in verse 1. I want to read it for you here. It says, "And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord." Again, alluding back there where I said that, you know, Eve probably thought Cain was from God. "She again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground as an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. We're going to stop there and continue talking about this here in a moment. But look at this and think about this for a moment. Think about what happened here. And in this story, we see faith starting to play out. Now, don't tell me that faith hasn't been around from day one. Don't tell me that faith is something that we came up with after the 20th century started or whatever it might be. Because when we look at this, we see that from the beginning of time, our religious faith, our presenting offerings to God, God laid it out from day one. It's not something that God just all of a sudden one day said, you need to give me offerings. You need to bring me gifts. You need to do this. You need to do that. Day one, Adam and Eve are created, and they then are banished from the Garden of Eden, and it became a way of atonement to bring sacrifice to God. Verse 3 says, in the process of time, at the end of days, which would mean on the Sabbath day, meaning that on the seventh day of the week, they brought gifts. Adam likely would have been the priest of the home. He would have been the first man created, but he would have been the one who would present those offerings to God for them. I mean, they're the sons. They come to him. He's the spiritual leader of the household. And what we see is the day that God rested, there is an appointed time. There's an appointed day. There's an appointed way that God wants us to worship. God wants our best. That's the first thing we can see in this story of Cain and Abel. God wants our best. He doesn't want second class. He doesn't want all of these things that we want to give him as leftovers. Now, I'm not saying that Cain or Abel were right or wrong. Based on what we know, God not only appoints the day of worship, he appoints the way of worship. And we can't decide. We can't just worship any way we want to and consider it good to God. He's the one that accepts what we do. He's the one that accepts or denies what we've done. Now think about it in this way. In order for us and for our worship to be acceptable to God, it must be pleasing to God. Look at your life today. Now if we go back to Romans and we talk about Romans, I believe, was it 10, 1 and 2? It's escaping me. I don't have it written down on here because I didn't think of this while I was looking at this. But if we look at, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing. That means that we are the living sacrifice that we present to God. We are to give him a sacrifice today through our lives. Now, it was the first day of the week, at the end of days, this was the Sabbath. This was the day that they were to come before the Lord and present their offerings. And Cain came with his. Abel came with his. And God accepted Abel's, but he didn't accept Cain's. We know that God had revealed to Cain and Abel the way that he desired to be worshipped. We know that by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Now, what does that mean when we look back at that Hebrews verse and the writer of Hebrews writing about the faith of Abel compared to the faith of Cain? What we see is, how could Abel make an offering by faith? How could Abel make this offering in such a way that it was something pleasing to God? Because they were the first ones on the earth. I mean, if you think about it today, really you've got Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel. They're bringing their offering to serve. They're bringing their offering to worship. Cain brought his best, but it wasn't God's best. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that Cain just went through and he just picked this and picked that. But Cain brought what he believed was his best. But it wasn't God's best for him. And I'll explain, based on Hebrew sacrifice, what that means. But what it's basically saying, Cain's heart wasn't right. Cain didn't give because he wanted to. He didn't give to God out of an atoning sacrifice. He didn't give of the first fruits of what he tilled from the ground. Cain brought what Cain wanted to bring. In other words, as we look at this, this was not the offering that was the problem, but it was the way of sacrifice. It was what Cain gave and how Cain gave it. It had nothing to do with whether one offering was better than the other. In fact, it was a bloodless sacrifice. Now, if we think about the culture, and you think about the scapegoat, you think about the things in tradition that they would do to atone for their sacrifice, it required blood. The scripture tells us that throughout. Cain tilled the land, he was a farmer. Abel tended the flocks. Now, because of that, those two basically were the first two businessmen. Abel had his livestock. Cain had his farm. And if one of them wanted what the other one had, they would offer a trade. That's how business worked. It's how business still works in some ways. So what you see is that you see Abel and Cain being able to do this in such a way that they could have made a trade for Cain to give a sacrifice if he'd have brought maybe the first fruits to Abel and asked for something to sacrifice. But it was a bloodless sacrifice. It was a sacrifice that meant nothing to him. And we need to be aware of doing that in our own lives. We need to be aware of just giving what we want to give. Because sometimes what we want to give is not what God requires. In the book of Jude, verse 11, it says, "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain." So what is the way of Cain? In the Old Testament, to worship, you brought a sacrifice of blood. A sacrifice which pointed to the Redeemer who was coming to the world. And they didn't know that at the time. But we know it now. Blood saved our lives. A sacrifice of blood was required for you and I. For us to be able to stand here today and know that God has saved us, a sacrifice of blood was required. A life was taken. Now we know that life was Jesus Christ, and we talked about his faith last week. But what I want you to see today is this. We don't come bringing the works by our own hands. We don't come in here today as if somehow we could earn our own salvation. And Cain and Abel actually tried. They had to earn their own salvation. They had to atone for the sins in their lives, and the heart is where it started. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. That's what Hebrews 9:22 tells us, that without the shedding of blood, there is no redemption of sins. Sins have to be atoned for through the shedding of blood. It's been that way since the beginning of time. Now, in the Old Testament, it was by putting your sins on a scapegoat, cutting the throat and sending it out. Your blood, your sin was atoned for through the blood of that animal. Then came Jesus Christ, who died on a cross. And again, as I mentioned before, he became our scapegoat. He became our sacrifice. So the first thing is that God wants our best, which means that we have to atone for our worst. We can't just live life, living how we want to, and not take responsibility for our own actions. In this day and time, it seems like responsibility has gone to the wayside. We want to blame others for the things that we've done. We want to blame others for the things that we've caused in our own lives. But the truth of the matter is that we have to atone for our own sin. I have to account for what I do in my life. Something I've done in my life, Blake will not be held responsible for. Something Blake's done, Lamar will not be held responsible for. Something Lamar has done, Joe will not be held responsible for. And likewise, we could go around the church. But I can sit here today and tell you that if you have a sin in your life, no one else will pay for that but you. I don't care. God doesn't care who you are. He doesn't care what you've done. He is not going to charge someone else with your crime. He's not going to stand in front of you. He's not going to stand before me on judgment day and say, Philip, I know you sin. I know you have fallen short of my glory. But you know what? I'm going to let you in, but Jamie's going to take the responsibility for your sin. Because if we don't understand that Jesus already did take the responsibility for my sin and your sin, Jesus paid that price so that we don't have to worry. This is the same faith that we were talking about last week, and it's the same faith that Abel had. Abel came before God with this best sacrifice he could give. He took the firstlings. He took the best. He took the strongest. He didn't take the weakest. He didn't take the one that nobody wanted. Abel took what was best in his flock, brought it before the Lord, and sacrificed that as an atonement for the sin that he felt he had committed in life. Abel repented of that sin through his atoning sacrifice. Cain, on the other hand, was likely like many in the church today. He came with an offering, and he made sure everybody knew he gave it. Yeah, he gave his offering, and Adam maybe accepted the offering if Adam was the priest of the family and just looking at it in that way. But God did not, because Cain did not give with the proper motive. Cain did not come before God with his heart correct. You know, but as we look at this, we also realize not only does God want our best, but he also offers us a way of escape when we're at our worst. He also offers us a way to get out when we're dealing with things that the world throws at us. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with your temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." Now, we've heard it said many times. We've talked about it many times. And a lot of folks actually try to quote this verse and misquote it. The Bible doesn't tell us that God won't give us more than we can handle. The Bible tells us that God will not tempt you. And it says that when you face temptation, God will give you a way out. It doesn't say that God gives you the problem. It says, but with the problem, look for the door that leads to the out. Look for the exit. Look for what God is offering you in the situation to find your way through that door so that you too can find a way out of the problem. You know, I don't think it could be any more clear than what it says here in 1 Corinthians, where it's saying that will with the temptation also make a way to escape so that ye may be able to bear it. It doesn't say that God doesn't give us more than we can handle. It says God gives us a way out so we can handle it. Now think about that for a moment. It doesn't say that we will go through a problem, but it won't be too great for us to get through. It says God gives you the way out so that you can get through it. God doesn't give you your problem. When it comes to our faith, we must realize that our faith develops through this situation that we face. But we have to have faith that God is right there with us and God is leading us through it and that the door is going to be provided for us to exit. There's always a way out. Sometimes we have to go through Him to find it. There's always a way through the situation. But sometimes we have to seek the one who created us to get through it. God doesn't give us the problem. Job didn't receive the problems because God said, well, I want to punish Job for being a servant. It says in Job that the devil went to God and said, well, what about your servant Job? And God gave him guidelines. God gave him a way out. And Job had to look through God to find it. God gives us all a way through our problems today But if we don't work through him, we will never see the exit. We will never see the way that leads us through the problem. So look through him today. God warns and offers a way out. Genesis 4, 6, and 7 says, "And the Lord called unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt not thou be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him." You see why I'm talking about God making a way out now? Cain was offered a way to repent. Cain was offered a way out of his circumstance that he had just put himself in. Cain didn't give with the right motives. Cain was then offered a chance at redemption by God. I mean, how beautiful is that today? If we come into a situation, just as Joe mentioned in Sunday school this morning, it's a sin whether we know we're doing right or wrong. It's still a sin. If we know we're doing right and we don't do something, it's a sin. If we know we're doing wrong and we continue to do it, it's still a sin. You know, that's the thing. If we know what's right, if we know what's wrong, it's a sin. Cain knew what was wrong. Cain knew he was doing the wrong thing. He knew he wasn't giving of himself. He was giving to show others that he had faith. Do you have faith today? Or do you have the faith like Abel had? Are you willing to give of yourself? Genesis 4, 8, and 9 continues, and it brings us to the third point today. It says, "And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? He said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." Folks, our deeds are an outward physical statement of what our inward thoughts are. If we're living life in a way that's not pleasing to God, people can see it. They know where our heart lies. Just because you say you're a Christian does not mean you're a Christian. Just because you say that you have faith does not mean that you have faith. Understand me today on this. I'm not trying to come against anyone, but the biggest problem with Cain's worship was that his heart was wrong and he had anger with God. We also see that he had anger against his brother. And the reason for his anger against his brother was because of his anger with God. How many of us come into worship today and we look around the room and we see someone worship? We see someone who is just overcome with worship and they're overcome and we get jealous. We see the blessings that are coming in their life because they're living a righteous life and we get angry. We think, well, I deserve what they've got. Well, do you? You can't come before God with a humble heart. Do you really deserve what someone else is being blessed with? Those blessings come because of the heart of the matter. The blessings come because we come with the right heart and motive. Thinking about something is not necessarily a sin. Now, I don't want you to hear this wrong, but thinking about something is not necessarily a sin. Something crosses your mind and you let it go and you move on. That is not a sin. The sin is in taking action against whatever you think. The sin is taking up whatever it is that you know you shouldn't do. Being tempted, facing the choices, that is not the sin. It's choosing to do the wrong thing that is the sin. Letting something that we think about become something that we dwell on and finally act on, that is the sin. Cain being angry with God because he didn't come with the right motives left him with a choice. Verses 8 and 9 show us what choice he made. God gave Cain a way out. He offered him a chance to redeem himself, to give more, to give in the proper motive, to give the right way. And what does Cain do? He turns around. He walks out the door. He goes out into the field, gets an argument with Abel, and kills him. I mean, I don't think that's what God wanted. Abel was not the sacrifice that Cain needed to give to God. Cain reacted out of anger. Cain reacted because he felt that Abel was being accepted and he was not, and he didn't understand. Today, we come the same way. We get angry with our brother. We get angry with our sister because we don't understand how they're getting what they've got. We don't understand the blessings that they're receiving. We don't understand their lives. But the truth is that Matthew 7:20 tells us exactly why Cain got upset. It says, Matthew 7, verse 20, by their fruit you will recognize them. I mean, if you're going to go out into a garden and you want to pick potatoes, you're not going to dig up the tomatoes. They don't look alike. You can tell them apart. You're not going to go out, pick a bunch of carrots, and then come in and say, well, these are the tomatoes that I raised this year. These are the beets that I was hoping for. I mean, you're not going to go out to the field and grab a cow and call it a horse. I mean, we can tell what they are by what they look like, by what they give, by the fruits that come from them. We tell what a tree is by the apples or the pears or the oranges, whatever it might be. You can tell by the leaves that it bears. You can tell something by its fruit. You can also tell a Christian by the fruit that they put forth. You can tell who someone is by the way they live their life. If someone's coming to church on a Sunday, but they're going to the bar on Monday through Friday, are they really living the life that they've been called to live? If someone comes to church on a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and they're all about what the Scripture says, but every other word out of their mouth through the rest of the week is nothing that you would find in these pages, maybe they're not exactly focused where they should be. That's where we need to take inventory of our own lives. That's where we need to take inventory of who we are, because it leads us to the fourth thing that I want you to see today, and that is in Genesis 4:10. It says, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. The fourth thing I want you to see today, sin finds you out, folks. Sin will find you out. If you are living a sinful life, if you are sinning. Now, think about it. Think about marriages that crumble and the sins that happen within a marriage that cause a marriage to crumble. When one partner cheats on the other and you start to see those things come to fruition, they crumble because somebody gets found out about. And when we see that, Numbers 32, verse 23 said, be sure your sin will find you out. God gave those warnings throughout Scripture. But sin finds you out. Sin will devastate you. You will not be able to live with that sin. And I don't care if you think you can. I don't care how good you are with guilt, how well you overcome it, and you can fool everybody around you. But there's still one that sees the heart. There's still one that knows who you are, and that is God Himself. And it says your sin will find you out. How will your sin find you out? Cain probably thought he had it taken care of. I don't know what he would have told Adam and Eve. But he didn't have to deal with Adam and Eve, because God came to Cain and he said, what have you done? But hear this. He also told Cain that his brother's blood cried out from the ground. Because God saw what happened, and he was very displeased with what Cain did. And he sees what happens with us, and that guilt that you feel when you commit a sin, that guilt that you feel is God crying out saying, what have you done? Because your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Because whatever sin you've committed, somebody maybe was hurt. You were hurt. But something's crying out to God for help from deep within you. And it's you that choose to stand before God and say, am I my brother's keeper in many ways? Cain, standing before God, tried to lie his way out of what he had done. There was nothing he could do because God knew what had taken place. And the situation was already taken care of. And then when we continue on here in Genesis, If we skip down to verse 13, it says, "And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear." Now we'll get back to the punishment in a moment, but it says, "My punishment is greater than I can bear." I want you to understand something today. Punishment does not mean repentance. You know, your sin finds you out, you find your way through the situation, and you become to a situation where, you know, your sin causes a problem. You get fired from your job because of a lie you told, because of a cover-up you made. But punishment does not mean repentance. You can be punished all day long, but if you're not truly repentant at the heart, there's being sorry for your sins, and then there's being sorry you got caught. I want you to understand that today. There's being sorry for your sins, and there's being sorry for you getting caught. Being sorry for your sins means that you're truly repentant of what you've done, that you truly understand that it was the wrong thing to do, and you have given it back to God, you have prayed about it, and you have accepted that your life will move on, but you will put that in the past and you won't repeat it. Being sorry that you got caught just means you're going to try to find another way to hide it next time. It just means that you're not giving up on the life you had. It just means you want to do it a different way. Maybe you're going to cover it up somehow. There's remorse for doing wrong, but it's not the same as the remorse for suffering the consequences. Suffering the consequences is different. Cain was not sorry for his sin. It's the punishment that he cannot bear. Cain didn't care that he killed his brother. But what God punished him with was too much for him to handle. Now go back to something I said just a little bit ago, and something that I alluded to about how in every situation, in every circumstance that we face, that it's not that God gives us more than we can handle, it's that God gives us an exit so that we can handle it. You know why Cain thought his punishment was more than he could bear? Because there was no exit. God had punished Cain. There was no exit for Cain in that regard. Cain could not find a way out because God had even gone to the point of saying that he would mark Cain. Now hear me for a minute. God marked Cain so that no one would kill him, and if they did, then they would pay more than Cain ever would have thought about. God had marked Cain so that no one would take his life. Now, I want you to see that. He's not sorry for what he had done. He heard his punishment. He knew he could not escape it. Murderers fear things when they commit murder. And it's not that they fear the consequences. They fear that in turn that they will be slain by others. But Cain knew he wouldn't. You know, many murderers today, when they commit murder, they don't care. You know why a lot of criminals go after the police like they do today? It's because they're looking for a way out. And if they can get someone else to take their life, then they don't have to deal with it themselves. Cain couldn't take his own life, and no one could take it from him. If that's not proof that it's not ours to take from someone, I don't know what is. Let me tell you about God valuing life. You know, the way of a sinner is hard. The way of a sinner is difficult. And we each know that by the way we live today. When we deal with sin in our own lives, what we find and face is difficulty after difficulty after difficulty. Because the guilt, it riddles us. The guilt wears us down. The trouble that we face in our lives completely devastates us to the core. Cain understood that. And many of us understand the way of Cain today. 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, "For godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death." Now we can talk about that in all the spiritual meanings of it, but the truth of the matter is simply this. The world is going to lead you down a path that will make you feel sorry for who you are. The world's going to lead you down a path that when you commit something against someone, you're going to feel sorry for yourself. You're going to start blaming others. You're going to start carrying yourself in a way that, well, everybody owes me this because it wasn't my fault that I sinned. Or you're going to come to terms with who you are. You're going to come to terms with whose you are. And you're going to come to terms with the sin that you've committed, and you'll give it over. You'll wash it in the blood of Christ. You'll make that spiritual atonement, and you yourself will find happiness amidst the times when others find disappointment. When you can truly let go of your sin today, you find happiness. You find peace. You find things that you never thought you would find. Which brings me to the sixth point that I want to make today, and then we'll wrap it up. But in Genesis 4, 11 and 12 and verse 15, it says, "Now thou art called, now thou art cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth." And skip ahead to 15. It says, "And the Lord said unto him, Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him." Now, as I mentioned just a moment ago, God values life. The last thing I want you to see this morning about the story of Cain and Abel and our faith is simply this. The faith of Abel was seen by God. Cain took Abel's life because of his lack of faith. But our worth is not determined by the world. What you are worth is not determined by anyone you come across in this world. Ladies, I want to speak to you for a moment. Just because some guy thinks that you're worth all this, or that you need to be this way or that way to be worth something, it doesn't mean you are. Guys, just because your boss tells you you have to be this employee or that employee to be worth something to him, doesn't mean you are. Let me just put it this way. Any one of us sitting in this room today, the world is going to try to tell us who we are, what we're worth, or what we're not worth. For us today, our worth is not determined by this world. Let me explain that with one verse from Matthew chapter 10, verses 29 through 31. It says, "Not even a sparrow worth only half a penny can fall to the ground without your Father knowing it. And the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are more valuable to him than a whole flock of sparrows." We've seen birds migrate. We know how many birds can be in a flock. And yet we're more valuable than that to God. And he knows when one of them falls to the ground. Or maybe Psalm 116 verse 15. "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." When someone who is committed to God passes away, when someone who is committed to God passes on, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Folks, if you don't get anything out of this message today but this, please let it be this point. That man may place small value upon your soul, but God does not. Our soul is worth more to God than anything that we can encounter on the face of this earth today. Than any relationship that you could have, any encounter that you could undertake, whatever it is, you're worth more to God than that. We know what we place our value in. And if you think about your most valued possession, think about the most valued thing that you have in life, and then multiply that times 10, and you still won't touch how God feels about you as an individual today. We cannot be valued by what we can earn through our work. We cannot earn the value that God has placed on us. Our value is based on how God's estimation of our worth. And I don't know what the mark that he gave Cain was. But let me just explain this. God protected him. He marked Cain for a reason. Because Cain's life was worth just as much to God, though he was a sinner, as our lives are. God still didn't want Cain dead after the things that he had done. Cain probably wanted to die after what he had done and the confrontation he had with God. But God did not want Cain dead. Instead, he banished him to the land of Nod. He was sent out. He was told that he couldn't be where he thought he needed to be. How many of us today are sitting in the land of Nod when it comes to the church? How many of us today are dwelling in that land of Nod where we're kind of on the fence about who we are, about what we believe? You know, he went east to the land of Nod. Adam and Eve were sent east to get out of the Garden of Eden. I mean, east doesn't seem to be a good way to go when you're in the world. I'm not saying if we're trying to get to the coast, we don't go east. But what I'm saying is that every time something took place, Lot went east as he separated from Abraham. Everything kind of seems like east is not the way to go. Now, I'm not saying that in a directional standpoint, but in a figurative standpoint, maybe we should go west. Maybe we should go toward the things of God. Maybe we should find ourselves headed toward his sacrifice. You know, in the scripture, going east always seems to imply that they were going away from God. It always seems to be symbolic of this letting go of what God has done in your life. But as we look at the story of faith within Cain and Abel, what we see today is this, that the message is now up to you. The faith part is up to you. Cain missed that message, but are you going to miss it today? Are you going to miss what God has done? Do you realize? John 4:23-24 says, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." If you want to worship God today, there's only one way, and that is to worship in God's way. To worship in spirit and in truth through your faith. To worship in spirit and in truth through faith. John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Are you willing to do what Cain wouldn't today? Are you willing to do things God's way? Are you willing to do them the right way? Abel was doing that. He was offering his sacrifices. He was a living sacrifice. He was atoning for his sin. He was doing the right thing. Cain, on the other hand, even when given a chance at redemption, refused. So which one are you? Which one are you today? Which way are you following? The way of Cain leads to destruction. The way of Cain leads to the land of Nod. The way of Cain means there's no escape if that's your choice. Abel was blessed. Cain kind of helped him out, the way it seems. Took him out of the world where he would have faced trouble. Today we need to hear, we need to believe, we need to repent, we need to confess, and we need to obey. We need to do what God has called us to do. We need to see these things come to fruition in our own lives. So today, as you close out this morning, I want you to see there's a lot of things about our lives that we can hide from everyone around us. God sees the heart, and our sins will be found out. The blood of others cries out to God on our behalf. It doesn't mean that you killed someone, but it might mean that you did hurt someone. Something might cry out to God on your behalf to let him know what you've done. Scripture tells us that man sees the outward appearance, but God sees the heart. What does your heart look like today? Are you giving your best, or are you giving your best? Are you giving with the right heart, or are you giving because somebody else might be watching? Cain gave because somebody was watching. Cain gave because he was told to give.
But Cain was spiteful. Cain didn't care. Cain didn't want to give with the right heart because Cain could have cared less whether his gift was good enough until God came and said Abel's was. But Cain just not. So instead of doing the right thing, when faced with that choice for redemption, Cain decides to go take Abel's life instead. When you're faced with that choice for redemption today, you know what you've done. It's not for me to call your sin out. But God's speaking to you today. God's calling out to your heart today. And he's speaking to you, saying, this is the sin that you've committed. These are the things that you need to repent of. Now is the time for you to face that choice. So don't leave here today and not know that God is doing great things in your life. Stand with us. Sing with us. Number 11, trust and obey. But if you need to make a decision today, there's no better time than the present. There's no better time than now for us to turn it over to God and just allow him to do a work with him.